You would turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And once again, our text will be here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. And the topic this morning is about bragging. And I believe it's going to be the best message on bragging that you've ever heard. And we know pastors can brag. I pastored 6 churches for 42 years, some of them large, influential churches. Why, in one of my churches, I had a Sunday school teacher who was a commissioner of the CDIC, appointed by Prime Minister Harper. And the sister of a famous evangelist so-and-so was a member too. In fact, we're having the best year of growth ever. We baptized 8 billion people last year. Bragging. As I mentioned last time, our family has a book of pictures attempting to illustrate this passage. And for love does not brag, Hudson and Paisley are in the picture standing next to each other, each of them holding a picture that they drew. Hudson is 10, Paisley's 5. And we can imagine whose picture was better. Whose gifts are better? 2 gifted people, okay? One, though, clearly more gifted than the other, smiling right next to each other. And for that split second that photo was taken, at least, wonderfully unified. Hudson didn't brag. Paisley could have been jealous. And what a photo op can do, and to present that unity, eh? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is something that's always going to be needed in our home, and I trust in your heart as well. So let's read together the first 8 verses here, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, and does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's exactly what the Corinthians needed to hear. Specifically this morning, that love does not brag. Among other things, the Corinthians were bragging about whom they followed. Well, I'm of Paul. Oh yeah? I'm of Apollos. I'm going to one-up you on this one now. I'm of Cephas. Oh yeah? I'm of Christ. Got you really big time now, don't I? So clearly Paul is rebuking the Corinthians and us. And don't forget this, that 1 Corinthians 13 occurs after chapter 12 and before chapter 14. That's a big deal, isn't it? Well, actually it is, because Paul is correcting them in those 2 chapters about their exaltation of their giftedness. And in the middle, we have this exhortation about love. See, they thought they were something else with their giftings. But Paul has to remind them that not everyone is an eye in the body of Christ. Not everyone is a nose or a mouth or a hand. We're all gifted differently, and that from Christ. And so we are to show tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And bragging wrecks that. And so we're to actively show patience to one another. When somebody sins or makes mistakes or you disagree with them, there is an active showing of loving kindness, an active showing of long suffering toward them. As well, we're to be kind, not only not being upset with them, right, but being actively kind to them. We're to express kindness. Instead of giving them anger, we're to give them peace. And on top of that, actively and genuinely and kindly building them up. Even though we may have some sin we're dealing with reference to them. And love is also not jealous. We're not to desire other people's gifts or achievements, but praise the Lord. We're to praise the Lord, right? That He is the one who gives those gifts, those achievements, that status in life or whatever. Not to jealously desire it. And now this morning, love does not brag, but instead it boasts in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at the description of bragging, the damage that is caused by bragging, and finally some direction. Same as last time, similar organization description, damage, and some direction. The word for brag here in verse 4 is the only time that it occurs in the whole scripture. But other similar words are translated boasting in our New Testament. And boasting can be a good thing in the sense of taking pride in something or being thankful or rejoicing in something. And we do this. We even use the word pride for this, don't we? We say, "I'm so proud of you," right? But most often it is a bad thing. Okay, so what are we talking about when we're talking about bragging? Okay, and we can detect it to some extent, this bragging. Like the diehard braggarts, you know, the kinds of people who never seem more than 5 minutes away from erecting statues of themselves. They brag about everything. "I'm smart. I'm a nice guy." And I heard a certain president even say this morning, "I'm the best at using the internet." Really? Okay, that one's easy to recognize. And so bragging then is this, when in one way, shape, or form, we are calling attention to ourselves to gain admiration or approval from other people. Calling attention to ourselves to gain admiration, to gain approval from other people. And again, some of it is easy to detect in ourselves, but many times it's not so easy. And we can get confused about what is and what is not bragging. Let's say, for example, that you live in Rockview County, Alberta, where the average net worth of the residents there is, are you ready for this one? The average net worth is over $3 million. And you live there. And I ask you, where do you live? To answer the question is not bragging. Just like it is not bragging to say, "Well, I live at such and such address in Athabasca." In this case, not answering that question would be bragging. What? How is that? "Where do you live?" "How about them Oilers?" You know. But then you're pressed on it, and finally you say, "Oh, Rockview County." Why the pause? Why are you so like this? Clearly, because you live there, you view yourself as having a higher station in life than the person that you're talking to. And because you know that, it's embarrassing for you to answer the question. That's why you didn't answer the question. And you feel then the need to conceal your sense of bragging in your own heart because that's exactly what you've been doing. If you were humble about the whole thing, you would just say, Rock View County, right there, this address, no big deal. Not answering the question would be bragging. And so bragging is, in one way, shape, or form, we are calling attention to ourselves to gain admiration or approval, and can even be hidden in things like embarrassment. So a person can brag. What makes a person want to do that? Well, a person can brag because he might feel small and insignificant. And to boost his ego or to boost his appearance in the sight of others, he brags. He exalts himself, exalts his abilities, or whatever it is. People also can brag because they feel uneasy about themselves, or they need to prove themselves. They feel like they need to make a strong impression on other people. They need to sell themselves. Confession. I remember a time recently, and someone who said they were considering coming to the church, which they never have, but anyway, they said they wanted teaching on how to live better. And so I proceeded to sell myself, and I told him of my educational background to prove to him that I could teach him. And that occurred to me yesterday, and I repented of that while studying. The need to make a strong impression on other people. Other people brag because they fear abandonment. You just want some friends. And so he brags to get other people to like him. Others may simply lack social awareness. They think everybody is their mommy and daddy and are proud of them for every little single picture that they draw. And they come up to people and say, oh, look what I did. Right? And an aside here, as a pastor, I do want to know spiritual successes in your life that would not be considered outright bragging. Okay, your Bible reading, you're witnessing to somebody, somebody got saved that you witnessed to, or you've had somebody in your home and had some great comfort, whatever it is. And you'll know if you're bragging in that or not. Other people need control or dominance. And their intention is to cut you down, to make you small, so that they are big. And so sometimes bragging can be hard to detect. So see if you can find the brag in these comments that are posted on social media, which is so much a place of bragging. Somebody says, will Twitter be available for me in Paris, Milan, or the Maldives? I hope so, because it won't be available in Hong Kong or Singapore. Okay, you caught that. That's good. He's bragging about where he's traveling. Okay. Maybe it's more obvious. Okay. So the second one you ought to get to. This person says, another person, I just did something very selfless. But more importantly, it was genuine. And I know it means a lot to the person in the long run. Hashtag so worth it. Okay. Are you nauseous yet? Or this one. I'd be the worst at the Price is Right game show. I brought $20,000 to the store to buy a monitor, but it was only $350. Oh. The needless detail, a kind of failure brag. I'd be the worst at the Price is Right show. See, there seems to be a false humility in that one. And what area of your life have you bragged? King Nebuchadnezzar did it when he said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? And he was driven out into the field to eat grass like an ox. Peter did it when he said to Jesus, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And he denies Jesus to a servant girl. And the Corinthians did it when they failed to recognize the sinful man in their midst and to discipline him. He's, 1 Corinthians 5, he's with his father's wife. And they thought that everything was okay. They thought everything was well with the congregation, and so they were complacent about their spiritual health. And Paul says they're boasting. It's like they're saying, ah, we're fine. No big deal. Boasting. But it wasn't fine. So you kind of wonder sometimes, could someone be in sin in our midst and we don't care? Or we don't address it? Or could someone be hurting spiritually in our midst and we're not reaching out or not letting it be known? And then there are those who pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and say, tomorrow we'll go into the city and we'll earn a profit. And they don't seek the Lord's will on it. As James says, they are boasting. They're expressing dependence on themselves. We are going to go into that city and earn a profit. But of course, they should depend on the Lord. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. And so people can boast as well in their good works. For example, Paul says, because salvation is by faith alone, Paul asks in Romans 3:27, he says, where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, no. But by a law of faith. He also says, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It is not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Receiving cleansing from sin, receiving eternal life, receiving eternal redemption has always been by faith alone. And why is that? In part, so that no one can have any bragging rights before God. Look. Look, my eternal and holy righteous Father, whose infinite love surpasses anything about me. Look at my shiny new good work. But those who insist that salvation is a result of good works in some way, you know, it is a bragging religion then. They are reserving the right to boast before God. Another one on Twitter said, I gave $100 to the homeless man I see every day here in Vancouver. Irrational kindness does feel really, really good. Or, hey Bob, how's the house renovations coming? Great, says Bob. I've read the Bible every year for the last 13 years. What? Bragging out of nowhere. Or somebody else says, when I was praying at 4 a.m. the other morning, I heard the most wonderful bird singing outside of my window. Of course, we're told in preaching class, I remember, never to be the hero, or at least regularly, don't be the hero of your own story. How easy it is to toot your own horn when many words are being spoken. Some pastors then can be like, we led the league in baptisms last year. I had the most saves out of any starting pastor. So, you humble pastor down here, tell me your trouble, and maybe I can help. And so, I'm reminded of another area of bragging in which I fall short. Yes, another one. If you're aware of any other area, feel free to let me know. When people disagree with me on an issue that I feel passionate about, like theology or this or that, I can get passionate. And it can very well come across like I'm trying to win a debate. And I'm right and you're wrong. And I like to think of myself as, though in those moments, of course, right? I like to think of myself as trying to get to the truth. And there may be some of that in there, but if I were honest with myself, I'd at least have to consider the fact that I'd like to have some bragging rights, that I am right, and that you are wrong, right? And so I'm trying to learn not to assert myself or my viewpoints too quickly when I feel that passion rising up in my spirit. That's when I need to be careful. Learning to ask questions more and to gently correct if there is something to correct. To gently correct those who may be in opposition. Being teachable as well when I'm wrong. I remember my time at Bob Jones University, and I was working on campus there one summer with a fellow student, and he would tell me things like, I'm going to go home for a month and read my Bible two times. And during the school year, he had a very important job, a high-profile job on campus. And he was talking to me that summer about his dating relationship with a prominent pastor's daughter in the community. And he was describing to me how he worked in such and such office and how high of a position that was and what she would think of that. Boy, you gotta be kidding me. And so I was just so disgusted. And I said straight to his face, get off of your high horse. Could have handled that one maybe a little differently, I think. But I was reading an article, and the author noted 17 different kinds of bragging. And I'm just going to share seven of these real quickly. The basic brag, like when Hattie was a one-year-old in South Carolina, she was helping her mom clean our room, and she lifts a pillow over her head, puts it on the bed, and then says, I am so strong and so mighty, there is nothing that I cannot do. The one-up brag, I'm smart. Oh yeah, I'm smarter. Oh yeah, I got a 200 on the IQ test. Oh yeah, in conversations that can happen. The I'm of Paul, I'm of Paulus. Oh, I'm of Steve, no, I'm of Christ, the one-up. The reciprocation brag. Hi, I'm Pastor Greg. And she says mockingly, hi, I'm President Mary. True story, I said that, she said that, but the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Or in this case, I guess the guilty. Needless to say, I try not to introduce myself like that anymore. The baloney brag, total lie. I can read 25 languages and speak 122. Total lie. The humble brag, seems like you're being humble. I just ruined my perfect grade by getting a 96% on a quiz. Aren't we so sad for you? The beneficence brag, a kind of humble brag, seems like you're being kind. A mother has her 11-month-old in a sling. And an overbearing lady approaches her in the supermarket to say, the reason your child can't walk is because you're carrying her all the time. My baby was walking at 7 months. Trying to be helpful. Finally, the prop brag. Make sure your material possessions brag for you. Fancy Nancy? Is that like, I don't know much, but maybe that's what's going on there. I'm not sure. You would know. Keeping up with the Joneses. Why do you have to keep up with the Joneses? Because they brag about their wealth with their stuff. Love doesn't do this. Love doesn't even consider self. Someone who loves doesn't want to call attention to himself for approval. A loving person, therefore, won't compare herself with others. A loving person... if she does feel small and insignificant, won't brag to make herself feel better. Nor will he try to boost his ego. Love simply doesn't consider self, but actively and sacrificially will serve other people. So naturally, in a congregation, a family, in a group of people, we can see how damaging this can be. Very damaging. During our Bible reading this morning, we heard this in verse 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Set on fire. Bragging is so bad. It has company with the most heinous sin. 2 Timothy 3, it's in the company of lovers of money, those who are disobedient to parents and unholy, irreconcilable, meaning no matter what you do, you can't reconcile with them, gossips and treacherous people. In Romans 1, it has company with envy and murderers, inventors of evil and the unmerciful. And according to the Apostle John, and it's the one of three things that is in the world. He says in chapter 2, verse 16 of his first epistle, he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." The Joneses over there, their prop bragging next door can cause us, their naive, jealous neighbors, to long to keep up with them, keeping up with the Joneses. We don't have to keep up with those prop bragging Joneses, the boastful pride of life. And when we practice bragging, we are sinning. This is sin. And that is causing us to be out of fellowship with God. And that by itself then would have lasting implications in somebody's life, affecting one's ministry and wreaking havoc in the person's life and with the people around them. And so then, the direction. Like with any sin, of course, we need to repent. We need to repent, and we need to ask for forgiveness from the Lord, of course, and where appropriate, from others. And then prayerfully seek to grow. And meditate, of course, on some verses. For example, number one, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 28. And in that passage, he says this, "Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the low and the despised thing God has chosen." Hey, does that throw some ice water on the fire of your bragging? Do you have bragging rights? You foolish, weak, low, despised thing? That's us. Okay, to prevent bragging, Christian, consider your calling. And second, consider that anything good that you have is from God. Again, Paul's counsel to these bragging Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, a few chapters later. He says to them, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" You can't boast if God made you and gave you the good things that you have, right? As James says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, and the language is constantly streaming down from the Father of those heavenly lights. Constantly streaming down from the Father of those heavenly lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. It didn't come from you. All those good things in your life have continuously streamed down from Him in all of His splendorous glory. And so to prevent bragging, consider that anything good that you have or that you are has come from God. And children in the home also need to learn that one. Your good looks, your youthful strength and vigor are not from you. They are from God. Children in our homes need to recognize that. And child, you need to know this is from Him. This is not from you. Do not boast or take pride in it as if it came from you. Your identity is not in any gift or any power or any wisdom. If you have trusted into Christ, if you've trusted into him and now you are in him, your identity is in him, in Christ. And that's why the Lord then can say in Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Instead of boasting in yourself, glory in the Lord. Rejoice that you know him. And of course, our biggest help not to boast is the cross. Look at what it took to save your high and mighty soul. Look there. Look right there. Now look at that cross of blood on which the Prince of Glory died. No, don't look away from the horror that is there. Do you see the Eternal One there, dying on the tree for you? He is taking God's wrath that you deserve upon himself. Okay, now let's hear from you about how spiritual you are. How theologically astute you are. How you follow all the right preachers on the internet. How wealthy you are. How you walk with God and others don't do it like you do. Friend, a fresh look there at the cross will put your face on the floor and your hand over your mouth. But a fresh look at the cross will also cause you to boast in it. Love doesn't brag. Love doesn't bring attention to itself to gain admiration. But love will boast in something. It will boast in the cross. Galatians 6:14, Paul says, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Glory only in the cross. Never boast for self-glory. No, glory in that cross. Live and die with that notion. Love does not brag, but instead love boasts in the cross of Christ. And you know, that is really weird to say. Boasting in a noose, boasting in the electric chair, glory in execution. And you know that if you were at the foot of that cross, of Christ's cross that day, you would not be boasting. You would have felt wretched inside. That rugged cross, those cruel nails, the screaming, the torture, you'd be vomiting. Oh, no, no, what is going on in there? Boasting in the cross? Yes. Why can I boast in the cross? Because as the song has put it, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, and I know it's finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ and in his death and resurrection. And so people, meditate on these things and give yourself wholly to them, and through that, your profiting will appear to all. Let us bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are struck this morning with the glories of your cross, our Savior's cross, and the degree to which he stooped and how it took our, took the Holy One, it took our Savior, the eternal Son of God, to solve my sin problem. For our Father, we recognize that we are sinners before you, and we have bragged as well in our lives, and we confess that. How little we have considered this sin. And our Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you help us to recognize it. Help us to glory not in self. Help us to glory in Christ. And as Paul says as well, our Father, help us to even be thankful and glory in our weaknesses, not in our strengths. We know that every good thing, our Father, has come from you, constantly coming from you, never endingly coming from you. May we boast in you, and that you have brought us to yourself, and that we know you. And may we rejoice in that. Help us not to bring attention to ourselves, but help us always to point to Christ and his cross, to his resurrection, to his power and glory and wisdom and honor and might. And may we live humble lives of simply being a reflection of your glory, that others may see you, that we may be like a channel, and may they see only you and not us. Help us, our Father. Our flesh rises up desiring to exalt our own self. May we be disgusted by it, and instead glory in the cross of Christ and his great salvation for us. And for that glorious work, we offer to you our praise and thanksgiving, how needy we are. And we ask it for the glory of your Son. Amen. We'll turn to number 137. 137. When I survey the wondrous cross. And there is a line in here that captures what we were speaking about at the end. And that is stanza 2. And it is a prayer, and he says, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save, that is, except. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, except in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." And that is the picture that Isaac Watts, the author here, has given to us from that verse, Galatians 6:14. So let's sing this with a fresh vision, as it were, of the cross, and may the Lord continue humbling us. We'll stand together, number 137.
Sacrifice them to or thorns compose so rich a crown, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Praise the Lord for his mercies. They're going to be new tomorrow too. And our boasting, our pride, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of his Son cleanses us, say it if you know it, from all sin. And that is why we can boast in that cross. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Thank you. We are dismissed.